Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are here Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Saturdays from 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and from Sundays from 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're waiting for Evangelist Campbell. I was out trying to pick up some parts, but my suspension on my truck is not working, so I had to come back here. I have to change over to the other car because I got to go finish up on a job. But I don't see Evangelist Campbell yet, so I don't know what's going on. She may have forgot. I don't know. Let me see what's going on with her. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. We bless the name of the Lord Jesus. The woman of God is on the line. The Father God, we thank you and praise your God for your servant, your daughter. Lord, we ask that you speak through her and speak to us as our ears are open and speak to your voice. Use it, O God, to speak to us, O God, to speak to us.
Don't cry.
Touch her lips, touch her eyes and her ears of clear, God, and allow her to see and hear and speak, God. And Father, as she decreases, God, we pray that you would increase, O God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, Evangelist.
Amen.
I'm going to stop the music right there. Come on in, come on in.
Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for you. Amen. Thank God this morning. I was rushing. My phone went out and it kept saying the phone app's not connecting. I was like, oh, no, not now. And I was sitting here, I was like, no,
yeah,
no, use a liar. Thank you, God.
Yeah, I had to go to finish a job and I ordered a part for my truck and it didn't come yet for the suspension. The suspension lines, and I went over to pick up some stuff from Lowe's and from Home Depot, and man, that computer come on and said, "Don't drive the truck. Suspension need to serve to be serviced right away." So I brought it back home and started taking my tools out the truck, and I'm waiting for Nancy to get back here. She went to drop off some of my lunch at her job. Then I got to change over to her car and go finish this job. I want to go and take me like 10 minutes once I get to the house, but I got to drive like almost an hour, a little over an hour to get there. You know? So,
oh, my.
Anyway, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're here and that you can come and bring this word for God's people today. So go ahead and let the Lord use you. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for each and every one of us today. Thank God for you this morning, Apostle. Thank God for your wife, Lady Nancy Callender, this morning. Thank God for your children and grandchildren today in the name of Jesus. Thank God for the spiritual connection, the divine connection in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank God for God's resurrection power, church in Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. We just thank God for each and every one of us today who are here to support us, whether you're here as a bystander, a listener, or loyal to the church of God in Christ. However you are here today, we just want to tell God thank you for you today in the mighty name of Jesus. Our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word, God. And Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, we know that your word shall not return void. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, amen. This morning, God gave me the word, when God forces you out. When God forces you out, I don't know about anybody else on this line, but I've been in some circumstances and some situations in my life that God just had to come in and put his hands in and force me away from my present estate in order to get me to where I need to be. Sometimes you just need a boost. But when God forces you out, you know that it is time to go. You know that some changes have to take place when God forces you out. So here, this is what we were talking about this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, when God forces you out. I began with Genesis, the third chapter. And in Genesis, the third chapter, we know that this is where the serpent deceived Eve and the fall of man. We just thank God and God. One will go with me to Genesis, the third chapter, and I'm going to begin to read at the sixth verse. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. After the serpent had told her that surely this fruit is good for you, that you're not going to die, you won't die. God just told you don't eat this fruit. So go ahead and eat it. So she did eat. And when she did eat, her eyes were open. And so she said, who? Oh, I'm still here. I'm just paraphrasing. So she took the fruit and she gave it to her husband. And after he ate, the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. But when they did this, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? This is a divine call from God. You see, because God's presence is here. So it's a divine presence from God. Now here's a divine call from God. He says, Adam, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Have you ever tried to hide yourself? Have you ever tried to hide yourself from a situation or circumstance? Or have you ever tried to hide yourself from a person because you were made ashamed of something that you did in your life, or you was a part of something that you was embarrassed about? Have you ever tried to hide? But one thing about it, we cannot hide from God. So Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden. He said, I heard you. He said, but I was naked. Huh? He said, I was naked. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden, verse 8, in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife did hide themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. At this time, he was ashamed. Sin will drive you to shameful nakedness. You can have clothes on and still be naked because of sin, because it will reveal who you are. It will strip you of your dignity. It will rob you of what God has for you. This is what sin does. And so here, because of the guilt, because of the shame, he said, I hid myself. And he said, who, God, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Now, God already knew. God already knew. He said, hast thou eaten of the tree? Wherefore, I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. Have you ever done something in your life that you were so ashamed about, you didn't even want to go to the Father? I got to go to him and say, I'm sorry, but I don't even want to go before God and say, Father, forgive. I don't want to go to him because I know. I told you thou should not commit adultery, but that sin looked so good to me. I committed adultery anyway. I told you thou should not steal, but Lord, I was hungry. My children needed this. I needed that, but I stole anyway. But now that you've done it, I feel some kind of way about it. I feel guilty. I feel ashamed. So now, I need to hide from God. But God said, come here. Where are you? Where art thou, Adam? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. He said, a woman. So, you know, there's a lot of time we don't want to take accountability for our own actions. If anywhere we can put it, the blame, this is where we try to drop it. But accountability matters. So there comes a time in our life, no matter the guilt, no matter the hurt, no matter the shame, no matter the issues, the circumstances, the trials, the troubles, the tribulation, thou art God, and we have to be accountable. God holds us accountable. If God says go right, go right. God holding you accountable. If we lead the sheep astray. So here it is, God says. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. God went all the way down. He didn't just stop at Adam. So now you telling me that the woman did it. Whoa. Now the woman said, wait a minute, God, hold on. Adam done passed it on me, but no. It was that serpent. So God said, okay. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go down. Huh? God said, now I'm putting you down. I'm putting you down, and on your belly shall you go. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Always fighting, always at war. We know that Satan is a defeated foe. He's defeated. Okay? So he says, always suffering. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow, thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Oh, my God. So now God said, you're no more equal. The husband is over you. I'm placing him over you because, see, there's no more equal here. Somebody missed that. So here, he said, and unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Listen, you see, from Adam to the woman to the serpent. Now God has taken it from the serpent to the woman to the man. God has reversed this because now the man rules over you. And so here it is, and God said, thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In your sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. So God is saying, what God is saying, where he said in here in verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto thy voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. You got to till this ground. Don't think you're just going to go out here and just, it's going to be easy, and it's just going to come up. See, them days have passed. Them days have gone. All the vegetation you needed, not planting one seed, is gone. So God said, you know what? You is going to till the ground, and this is how you shall live. And so he said unto him, verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art. God said he had to remind Adam. He reminded him, from the dust you were created. So he said, shalt thou return to the dust. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was a mother of all living. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. At this point, God is giving them now, I've chastised you, but I'm still going to take care of you. As parents, we know when our children do something that they should not do, they'll chastise. We will chastise them. Well, it might even take away some privileges from them, and that's what we get into when God forces you out. You see, they lost privileges. They lost a lot of privileges when they were forced out. And here it is in verse 24. I'm going to verse 22. I'm sorry, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Huh? He said, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Immortality. See, this is what the tree of life is. God is saying to him, lest you put forth his hand. So now God said, you know what? God sent forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. God sent him out. So he drove out the man. He put him out. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God says, I'm going to have to force you out of here. It's like God drove him out. So can you imagine losing everything that you have? I don't want to go there. There are some times when we take privileges from our children and they begin to cry because they don't want to lose their privileges. They don't want to lose what they had. They don't want to give it up. But we have to teach them accountability. So when you take something from them, it forces them to understand and to know the importance of obedience. How many times have you had to chastise your child for the same thing over and over, except for when they're young, they're babies, not coming to the full knowledge and understanding? You can say, don't touch that, but until they get burnt, that fire, that heat, don't touch it, it's hot. You can tell them over and over again, but until they touch it, until they get stung by that fire, then they'll know that it's hot. You can tap their hand many times, but for some reason, that fire draws them. Sin will either draw you or drive you. Sin does not operate by itself. It takes you or I or anyone. It takes people for sin to be released. It takes that. So because you walk out of your house, temptation is there, but it takes you to become an act of it, to become a part of it, to activate sin. Sin cannot be activated without you. So therefore, because sin was activated, because they ate of the tree of knowledge, God said, you cannot stay here. I'm going to force you out of the garden. And so they lost the comfort of their home. This is no more their home. They lost the comfort of this. And so when it was revealed, God said, you know what? Your days are over here. Your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And this is why God told them not to eat of that tree, so that it would not take away the innocence of their life. But now, since you have robbed yourself, and that's what happens in a lot of us, when God has to force us out of a place, we are robbed ourselves of the blessings that God have awaiting for us. Adam and Eve were robbed. They robbed themselves because God had already given them a divine mandate not to eat of that tree, not to eat the fruit of that tree. He had given them a divine mandate. But because of their curiosity and because of manipulation, there are some times in our lives when we allow others to manipulate our mind, when you know deep down on the inside. I want to get back to this. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I want to get back to this. Your children, you can allow them to go someplace with someone. And if something happens, you can ask them what happened. They'll begin to tell you the story of how someone else did this and someone else did that, so they thought they should do this. Manipulation. So we have some manipulation here, manipulation of the mind. But when you're given a direct mandate, you're given a divine order, you should stand on that. You should stand on the promise of God, knowing that he is God, knowing that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There are so many names of God, so many names of God, that we feel like sometimes that we can just do whatever it is that we need to do and that God will forgive us. Yes, he's a forgiving God. He's the Most High God. He is God Almighty, El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. That's who he is. He's Yahweh. He's Jehovah. That's who he is. So he's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. He was there with them. He was there with Adam and Eve. But you see, he had to bring them into a place of obedience. Every action gets a reaction. Every reaction gets a counter-reaction. And because of that, God says, I have to drive you out of this garden. Here. In Matthew, if you'll go with me to Matthew. And while we're going to the book of Matthew, the 9th chapter, while we're going there, you see this right here is what brought about the fall of man. And this is what happened. You see, when Adam and Eve lived with God in the garden and the serpent tempted them and they became ashamed of their nakedness, this right here was the beginning of the fall of man. This was the beginning of corruption in this world. This was the beginning of sin, causing every one of us that are born, we are born into sin. Without the grace of God, we could be nothing. Without him, we are nothing. We're absolutely nothing without God. So when God created Adam and Eve, and they were the first man and woman, and when God placed them in that garden and forbid them to eat of that tree of life, he had to force them out. He said he drove them out. And he said the angels put them away. He said God said he drove them out of the garden. And to make sure, to make sure that you're no longer disobedient, I'm going to set a cherubim to guard the entrance with a flaming sword. I'm going to make sure that you do not go back in. Hold on to Matthew 9, but Psalms 90 and 4. The 90th number of Psalms and the 4th verse says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with the flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withered. For we are consumed, listen now, we are consumed by thine anger, and by the wrath are we troubled. You see, here they had to experience the wrath of God. They had to experience that they were dust. See, because this is what God told them in verse 3 of Psalms 90. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. The mortality of a man. So now, because of our everlasting Father, because God is God, God had to bring us to a place in our life. See, because justice would have commanded that they should die. Justice would have commanded that Adam and Eve should die. But even here, God in his holy sovereignty, he said no. He said no. I'm just going to put them out of the garden and they won't be able to return. So now if you go with me to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Amen. We'll get all this together. Matthew 9. If you go with me, I'm going to begin reading at the 18th verse. While he spake these things unto them, Jesus was talking about to his disciples. But it says, while Jesus spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, Jairus, and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hands upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Well, she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. When Adam and Eve were put out of the garden, they were already whole. They were whole. There was no sickness. There was no death to come. There was no sickness, no disease, none of this. But sin has brought all of this into play. So here, this woman, she was had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she touched him. But Jesus turned about when he saw her and said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole in that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. These musicians and these mourners, they were lamenting. And he had said unto them, give place. He said, give me some space. Give place. For the maid is not dead, but sleeping. And so they began to make mockery of Jesus. They began to make mockery of him. They began to scorn him with indignities. And so, but when the people were put forth, he put them out. He forced them out. He didn't already say give space. He had to force them out so that the healing could take place. We're talking about when God forces you out. He had to force them out of the garden so the deliverance can take place, so repentance can take place. He forced them out of the garden so repentance could take place. He forced them out of Jairus' house so healing could take place. So here he said, go forth. He put them forth. And after he put them out, he went in and took her by her hand. And the maid arose, so she got up. And the fame of her went abroad into all the land. And Jesus departed. You see, doubt and unbelief were back in the garden. Adam and Eve, there was doubt and unbelief in them because God told them not to eat of that tree of life, of the fruit in the garden. But because thou was dissuaded and persuaded by the serpent, the woman was, he told her, he convinced the woman that this tree and the fruit on this tree is good for the eating.
If you eat it, God knows your eyes going to come open if you eat of this free truth. If you eat of this tree or the fruit thereof, your eyes will become like God. So you see, that temptation had come before the woman. And when the woman took up that fruit and she ate of that fruit and she saw at this time that nothing happened, notice that the nakedness didn't come when the woman ate of the fruit of the tree of the life in the garden. The nakedness did not happen then. But God had given that mandate to the man. So when she took it to her husband and she persuaded her husband, she convinced him, she said, but eat it, honey. You can eat of this, my husband. I ate of it. Nothing happened. Oh, but oh, when she gave it to her husband, you see, because God had already given him a mandate of what to do and what not to do. So at this time, when he ate, things happened. Things changed. He recognized and realized, I've done something that I should not have done. I knew I should not have done this. How many times we take regret? How often do we regret something in life? But you know what? You can't go back and change it all the time. Some things you can't fix. This was one of those times that it couldn't be fixed. It's going to take a higher authority, a higher power to fix this right here. Because this is the fall of man right here. So now we need a redemptive Savior for this. Because God had to force them out of the garden. So now it is no longer good. It's no good anymore. It's been defiled. All these people in Jairus' house with this doubt and unbelief. Do you know you got to be careful about your surroundings? You got to be careful about the environment that you let hang around you. You got to be careful what's going to your ear gate. Because it brings on negative spirits. And these spirits will try to attach themselves. Matthew 12 tells us. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Matthew 12. Beginning at verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he says, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they may enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. The preeminence of spiritual relationship. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brother stood without, watch this, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hands toward the disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Because of the fall of man, amen, and because sin had entered into the temple, because sin had entered into the universe, to the scope, sin is here. So now I can no longer use this vessel, but I have to bring a redemptive Savior in so that we can be redeemed, to give place for our salvation, so that we can have the right to the tree of life, the right to the tree of Jesus Christ. So you see this tree that was being guarded now by the cherubim in the garden with a flaming sword. So Adam, you can't even attempt to go back there because it's over with. And there's some times that you try to return back to your life that you once had and is no more, but God has forced you away from that place. It won't happen again. There was this time in my life where God had to just force me out. I was in this relationship, so I thought. And with this man, I began to live. And I said to the Lord, we were shacking. Let me put it plain to you. Because I'm not ashamed of my life. Because I've been delivered. I've been set free. And the price has already been paid. And so in these 3 years that I was shacking up, I said to the Lord, I said, God, in 3 years, this is my prayer. Lord, in 3 years, if this man don't ask me to marry him, then I'll leave. This is what I said to the Lord. In 3 years, I said this. In 3 years, God, in 3 years, just give me 3 years, Lord. Can you imagine you in sin and asking God to do something for you? But this is what I said to the Lord. But I want you to hear this. So, you know, in 3 years' time, I'm not thinking about that anymore. I done prayed this, and I done prayed this prayer, and I told the Lord in 3 years, if this man don't ask me to marry him, God, I'll go, you know, get me out and all this stuff. I done said to the Lord, because now I'm in a situation, we're living together, we're shacking, so now this is my home, this is his home, this is our home, but we're living in sin. So now I'm still praying. I haven't stopped praying. I'm still praying. But listen, what happens? Watch this. I forgot about it. But I want to tell you that God will bring things back to your remembrance. In 3 years, God brought this prayer back to my remembrance. Because the man lost his job. My car got repoed. The lights got cut off. When the lights got cut off, the water got cut off. The heat and the air got cut off because everything was electric. The water pump was electric. The heat was electric. Everything was electric. So as I was sitting there one day and I was thinking, why in the world, what happened? You said in 3 years. I heard this little small voice inside say, you said in 3 years. So you see, I done got comfortable. And I had to say to the Lord, God, if this man don't ask me in 3 years, God had to force me out because, see, 3 years have passed now. I'm still trying to be somewhere that I shouldn't be, which I knew I shouldn't have been there in the first place. But see, now God got to force you out. See, now I done took your car. You don't have no lights. You don't have a roof over your head. Because guess what? You're going to lose the home. You're going to lose the house because nobody's working. No income's coming in. And the moment, I'm going to show y'all something. The moment I left that place and God had to force me out, this man's life was restored and so was mine. But not together, but apart. So you see, God will bring you back to a place. And this is what he had to do for Adam and Eve. He had to force them out to bring this us back to a place of repentance. In Revelation, the 22nd chapter, the second chapter, I'm sorry, the book of Revelation, the second chapter. He said, and unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things said that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Some repentance has to take place in your life. And that's what happened here with the fall of man. You see, I had to repent for my life to be restored. When Jesus put these people out of Jairus' house, because it was in their mockery and taking place, he had to show them that he is God. He had to show them that he is the healer. And this is how we have to live our lives. Even when God forces us out of situations, we have to stand on the word of God. We have to stand on his promises to show them. It doesn't matter what it looked like. It don't matter what you think. But I know that I'm going to stand on the word of God. And because he is God, he's made a promise. He is a healer. And he will deliver us from all things. God had to force the children of Israel out of Egypt. They, even after all the plagues, they still was trying to tell Moses, wait a minute, wait a minute, Moses, you know what? You done brought us here now. You done brought us to the Red Sea. You done brought us out here to drown. Where are we going to go? And then Moses go and talk to the Lord, and he says, what's in your hand? He told him, use what you got. And Moses lifted up his staff, and the sea was parted. And it began to go over on dry ground. But they didn't want to leave. God had to force them out to bring them to a land that he's promised them, this land that is filled with milk and honey over in Canaan. Their deliverance, they didn't want to make it to the place of deliverance. When they got there, they were saying, well, just let us go back. We'd just rather be slaves. We'll just be slaves. You don't mind us out here to kill us, to be killed, so just let us be slaves. And here it is all the time, God says, forcing you out to bring you to a place of deliverance, to bring you to a place of promise, to bring you a place of miracles. This is when God is forcing you out, but you don't want to come out. You got to come out. And if you don't come out, believe me, God will force you out. There are times in our lives when we say to the Lord, we want to do this and we want to do that. But we don't know how to get to that place. But God is saying to us today, if we would trust him, because he gave Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, for redemption for us, to cover us, for all of humanity, not for just one person, not for just me, not for just you, but for because of his mercy, and because of his grace, eating from the tree would not have reversed the effects of their sin. See, they ate of this tree of life, but the mercy of God kept them out of the garden once they were banished. When they were banished from the garden, his mercy kept them. Because, you see, God had to sit there. So many times we want to return. We want to return. A lot of times people come to the church, and they come into the church, and they join, they come in, they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior,
but then it's still lost. There's somebody, you might ask, how can you still be lost? Because they have no direction. There's nothing set before them. When we accept lost souls and they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, they need some directions. They need some instructions. You see, Adam and Eve were given instructions, but they went against God. So when you go against God, you're going to be forced out of some things in your life. You will lose. You cannot win when you go against God. There's no winning. And because God gave his only begotten son, that you and I may have the right to the tree of life, the blood of Jesus that was for our redemptive, for our redemption, the blood of Jesus. So when God set this cherubim, it symbolizes the presence of God. It symbolizes the presence of God will always be there. And it lets Adam and Eve know, this is what you lost. This is what you gave up. Someone who's listening today, and you're saying to yourself, how did I get here? How did I get to this place today when I had it so good but you failed? Somewhere along the line, you lost focus. And I want to tell you that today, that's okay. I'm saying it's okay because we have a redeeming Savior. I'm saying it's okay because you can repent. I'm saying it's okay because we have a sovereign God who will forgive us and will restore us. When you come back to him, he will restore unto you. Not saying that it's going to go without penalty, but I am saying that he's a forgiving God. I am saying that he will forgive you. I am telling you that. And it's also possible that the cherubim kept them from remaining in sin. This is why God put them out. I can't allow you to stay in sin. What will wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you don't know you're in sin and somebody point out your sin to you, then you have awareness of it. There was one time that I'm reminded of this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We were talking. We had this discussion going on. And they was talking about the preachers preaching. Back when we were growing up as children, the preachers preached. And they would preach the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And one of the biggest things that came out of that group section was, what is adultery? The preachers preached thou shalt not commit adultery. But one of the ladies said, what is adultery? If the preachers preach adultery, who telling us what is it? So at this point, we recognize and realize that this person truly did not know what adultery was. This person did not know that if a husband and wife was with someone else who was not their husband and wife, they were committing adultery. This person did not understand that because they had not yet come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They had not been introduced to the Word of God. They just didn't know. So as we began to talk and explain it to them, I found myself in an agreement with one thing. When we're growing up, yes, they preached it, but who teaches it? This is why we're here today, to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We wanted this scriptures to be made plain to you so that you shall live and not die. We want you to know that because of sin, because of one man's sin, it brought us to the fall and to the destruction. But because of another's life, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of his salvation, he gave up his life so that we could be born again, born of the Spirit, not born of the flesh. Nicodemus asked that question, thank you, God.
He asked that question, how shall a man be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb again and be reborn? And Jesus said, no, except you be born of the Spirit. You must be born again. You must be born again. And that's the only way. When God forces you out of a circumstance, and sometimes it's not for bad, it's for your good. So he forced Adam and Eve out so that they could live, repent, be redeemed, and not die. He didn't take their life, but he allowed them to live. He allowed them to be fruitful and multiply. But there were some conditions now. Now you got to work. Now you're going to, in childbirth, you will suffer some pains. Now you suffer, you're going to be crawling upon your belly. Now in Jairus' house, all these naysayers and doubters and unbelievers can believe. You have to force them out so that they can be. As long as they was in the house, naysaying, whispering, laughing, making mockery of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all he had to do was say the word. All he had to do was say the word, come forth. She came forth in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess. At the name of Jesus. You know, even in the temple, Jesus had to drive them out of the temple for selling merchandise in the temple. And Jesus said unto them, this is my house. This is a house of prayer. But you have made it a house of thieves, of robbers. In Luke, the 19th chapter, 45th through the 47th verse. And Jesus threw them out. He cast them out. And he was teaching daily in the temple. And as he was teaching daily in the temple, the priests and scribes and the leading men among the people were trying to destroy him. Have you ever seen somebody trying to build something up, but yet you got people trying to destroy them at the same time? I'm trying to fix this. I'm trying to build you up. But at the same time, we got all these naysayers and people who don't mind destroying everything and tearing it down. The Bible tells us a foolish woman build, a wise woman build it, but a foolish plucked it down with her own hand. That's what the Word of God tells us, ladies. Let's not be foolish. Because God, when God forces you out of something, don't get mad. We have to accept the fact that there's some consequences of the first sin. And only Adam and Eve are guilty of that sin. Adam's sin isn't comprehended only as a disobedience of God's commandment, but as a change in man, as a change in his values, as a change in his loyalty, as a change in his trust. So now, when God put them out, I can no longer trust you. Huh? I can no longer trust you to do what I have assigned for you to do. Same way with us. When God gives us a mandate, he trusts us to do what is right. We can't take it for granted and permit anyone to come in. God has given, let's bring it home today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God has given God's Resurrection Power Church in Christ to Apostle David Callender. God has put this and entrusted it to him. So now, if he steps down, he best to know that the hands that he entrusted this church to, because he has said this is the church of the living God. So being said that, the transfer has to be right, or he will be accountable for what happens in God's house, in this house today. If I say something that I shouldn't say, the man of God has to shut it down because he's accountable. In our churches today, if people get up and begin to say what they shouldn't say, don't give them room to put the evil spirits and release these spirits and demonic things into the atmosphere. Shut it down. Because what happens next, God is going to force you out of that place because you couldn't be trusted. You couldn't be accountable to hold fast to what God has given you. So my brothers and sisters in Christ today, I want to say to you, just because God forces you out, it does not always mean that it's for the bad. It can just as well be for your good, to protect you, to keep you safe, to bring you place of solidarity into that place so that you can have a sound mind built upon a solid foundation. Thou art God. And this is why God will force you out. So because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have a solid foundation today. Romans 10:9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can come today. You can come today in the name of Jesus. You can accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life today. So brothers and sisters in Christ today, if you're wondering if it's such a terrible thing, know this one thing: disobeying God is a serious matter. Disobeying God can bring you to destruction. So if you really want to choose something, choose God. Choose life. Because when Adam and Eve ate of that tree, it brought them into a place of being banished from eternal life. It was no more. But because of Jesus Christ, we now have eternal life. And salvation brings you to that place when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. You can be saved. You can be saved. You can drink from that cistern, the cistern of salvation, in the mighty name of Jesus. Our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you today, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for bringing us out. We thank you for a divine resurrection today, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for sharing your son's life so that we could live. We thank you for redeeming us, God, in the name of Jesus. We know, God, that death has been defeated. And for that, God, we say thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And have mercy upon us, O God. We know that the tree represented Satan, God, and the source of death, and that you have warned us, God, in the name of Jesus, not to eat of the tree, God, of the fruit of the tree that will bring us to death. And for that, Father, we say, O God, forgive us of our sins, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, the tree of life, in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. Apostle Calendar.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Evangelista Campbell, for that awesome anointed word. We just bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for what you have allowed your servant to release into the atmosphere, into our hearts today, Lord. We ask, O God, that you would pour back into her all that she has poured out today and more, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Now, the line is open. I'm on the road, and I see there's some people on the line. Anyone that wants to respond or could respond, you can come on in now and respond.
Good morning. Good morning. Evangelist Campbell, I'm glad that I to hear the word. Good morning. It's always good to hear your voice. I was on yesterday, too, but good morning, Apostle Callender, and everyone who's a part of this listening audience this morning. It takes a lot to tell your business, and I'm a living witness. That takes a lot, but you're doing it for people's sake, but to help others come to the truth, and you're willing to be raw. And I just thank the Lord that he's a God of restoration, that he showed you that you weren't to be in that particular relationship and brought you out. And I hope there was some good there. But anyway,
yes, ma'am.
He allowed you to grow and us to grow of what we need and what we don't need, what we I'm starting to see from my own experience that I haven't had someone really special in my life. I thought I did. And I found that he takes really good care of us. I mean, really good care of us. So then you wonder, there are some scriptures that say, God will say, where are your lovers now? So he does. He's raw. You know, he'll say, you played the harlot, that said it. You did this, and then he had, I'm going in another, okay. Then he had, Hosea? What's his
book
name?
Of Hosea. Yeah, Hosea, take the wife of whoredom.
Yes, and he put a lot, he loved her, but she had a wayward heart, which is like the church, and the people in it, but also, he's in the restoration business, and you see that a lot in his word, that he's always talking, and he's always saying, come back to me. And I praise God that you were raw in this and put that out there, but also this the price of disobedience. We still pay for sin, the price of disobedience. And that but when we can tell the story, we're still alive. We're still alive to tell the story. And so I praise God. And also praise God that he has restored your electricity and the water and AC and car and every other thing. In Jesus' name, I'm very grateful for your praise report. And I pray that the Lord continues to bless us in this situation we're in right now. And I'm going to give someone else a chance. Stock up because the shelves are beginning to empty out again. Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, I had to get right. You see, because at this time, this is where God, I knew where I come from. And after Pastor Campbell had passed away, I was in the church, and I stepped away from the church. And I've always have said these words, God, before I bring shame to your house, I will walk away. So when I just started dating, I just kind of like, you know, I got out there not doing, just checking, living a life, living a good life. Wasn't a bad life, but I was in sin. But I wasn't going to do that and still be in the Lord's house faking. I just told I had already told God before I bring shame to his house, I will walk away, and that's what I did. But you see, God used the man of God, Apostle Callender, to bring me back to that place, to bring me restoration. You see, he told them that are holy, he said, for those of you that are holy, restore them. So when God used the man of God to speak into my life, I made one phone call, and I wasn't even supposed to connect with Apostle Callender. I was supposed to connect with one of his other spiritual daughters, Belinda Dara Jacobs Crosby. Her name just kept popping up on my page for prayer.
at this time. And I said, I'm not even this woman's friend. But this name keep popping up on my page if you need prayer. So I'm knowing I have walked away from God. I know this. I know I'm in a place that I shouldn't be. But I want to get back to the Father, but I don't know how. So I called this number. But she didn't hear me. So she called Apostle Calendar. And thank God for the man of God. He told her to just be quiet. No, that's not what she said. And he began to talk to me. He gave me his number so I could call him. He got my phone number. And he began to minister to me, to bring me back. And that's what the Word of God says. Those that are spiritual, those that are holy, we got to get these people and bring them back. And that's what I was saying about the church. So many times people come and they join the church. They were fellowship for a little while, and then we don't see them anymore. Where are they? What's happened? It could be some more me out there. I don't know. It can be somebody else who's in a situation. You know, I'm trying to find my way back, but I need some help to get back. I know how to go back, but I need somebody to stand strong with me. And this is how God used Apostle Calendar. Amen. And this is like the prodigal son. When he left home, he left a good place. He walked away from everything he had. He had a good life. He had a good living. He was living with his father. But he wanted to try something else. He wanted to do something else with his life. I want to see what the world looks like. So now that I got out there and I see what the world looks like, wait a minute.
Evangelism.
I brought myself to destruction.
Yes. Preach it. Hallelujah.
You're talking about myself to destruction. I got a father. I'm not going to stop in here. Wait a minute. What am I doing? My father's servants live better than this. And I'm out here with a father who would give me whatever I ask for, and the servants living better than me. I'm going home. I got to go home. I don't care what it takes. Got daddy, I'll be a servant. Just let me come home. And his daddy restored him. So this is what it's going to take for us. God sometimes forces us out of situations so that we can be restored. Because sometimes we get comfortable. We get complacent. We don't want to do anything else. We're okay with where we are. And God said, it's not okay. It's not okay to be in sin. It's not okay. So God has to force us out sometimes. Whether it be hell, destruction, or whatever, you're going to get forced out if you really want it. If he knows your heart when you're praying, he knows it. So you see, I have been praying, and I've not already told God in 3 years that this man don't ask me to marry him, I need to go. So now when all this happened, and I begin to ask God, now what's going on? Why? You remember that prayer you prayed? Here it is. The line is open.
I didn't even know you were married, and that's important, too, because you're saying he was a pastor, and so he was a really good man, and now he dies, and you're left alone. And that's the thing about loneliness gets us into some dangerous places.
You better preach now. You're preaching. There you go.
It gets us, and we become vulnerable, and we take on these people and believe their story, and they be lying through their teeth with just another number, especially when they don't know God. And we take on their lifestyle to an extent. You know what I'm saying? We believe them, right? Them spirits. We don't pay attention to the things we learn, but some do. Some stay holy, and I'm thankful, but
That's right.
I know for me, when my father died, I tried to fill spaces, and it took a lifetime for me to to change. But let me say this too. When the Holy Ghost fell on me, I should have stayed at that church because I had been going to church. But when the altar call came, the Holy Ghost fell on me. I should have known I was young. That was the sign I'm in the right place, and it was a Pentecostal church. So I don't, but I don't, I'm not caught up in it was Pentecostal, apostolic, no. Because, you know, a lot of churches don't teach about the Holy Ghost. And right now under Apostle LeGrand, we have to read the book of Acts before she teaches it. And I remember having a little attitude yesterday, like, we just went through this, you know. But I knew not to say nothing against the woman of God. I just keep my mouth shut, and she called me. And I didn't say anything, but you know what? I felt such a conviction, but I also felt a love. Because, you know, another thing about a true apostle, a true disciple, they go after the sheep.
They going after you. That's right.
They go after the sheep. And what I learned within 24 hours, that I said, I can't run away from this lady. I can't. And then the word today came, engrafted in. Paul talks a lot about we are engrafted in. All right?
That's right.
God prayed for us. He said in John 17, he prayed, you know, you read it, but for those who are his, he calls us in. Even the apostle calendar. That is a lot to step out and tell your truth. But he keeps telling his truth because it's going to bring deliverance for somebody else. And I'm saying these things to say, but we have to be on our guard, including me, every day, every minute, every moment. Because the devil comes seeking whom he may devour. And he comes in so many subtle ways. And there's another thing you said about the prodigal son. The people that have come into my life can't even take care of me the way God takes care of me. And some of them have more than I have, because I struggled like you did. But the Katrina caused a blessing to fall in my life. No. There were sometimes I had the money to buy whatever, like I wanted furniture or whatever, but I would feel like, I remember one time I had $25,000 and I wanted to deck my little place out, and I hated my apartment in New Orleans. And he said, you're not going to be here. I didn't spend the money wisely. So I'm saying we make stupid mistakes too. So I said, Lord, I had to repent. And I said, Lord, please put the money into my hands again. Please help me to be wise. So over the years, he's helping me. I'm still working at it. But I'm just, if we go to God earnestly, he will
earnestly
help.
That's right.
I pray that God will bless you with someone. I don't think a lot of married people really know what it's like to be single. It's really amazing how they preach to us, but they're single. They're not. But there are some that have been single and have been there. As a matter of fact, when I was in New Orleans, we had a pastor to the singles. We had a singles ministry I used to go to, and he really walked it. But now he's married with a son, and he got his doctorate. He loves his wife. He honors her, and he loves his son. So God bless him. You know what I mean? We're called to live a life. Amen.
Amen. It's awesome. That is so awesome. The line is open. Apostle.
I am here. I'm here listening to you. Thanks, Sheila, for sharing. And you can go ahead. If no brothers or people on the line want to respond, you can go ahead and close out.
Amen.
Encourage. May the blessings of Abraham overtake you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm. I'm Evangelist Campbell.
Amen. Is there anyone else? The line is open. So we thank God today in the name of Jesus for the word today. And we know that the word should not return void in Jesus' name. Our Father, our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, we come now, God, in the name of Jesus, telling you thank you. Father, we are your sheep. And Lord, and though sometimes we have gone astray, you have still extended your grace and your mercy towards us. And for that, Father, we say thank you right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. But if God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. And Lord, we thank you for your promises, for your word is sure, God, your divine faithfulness, God. We thank you for being established, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for your son, Jesus, that you have given to us, God, that we might live and that we may have life and have it more abundantly. For you said all the promises of you, God, are yea, and in you is amen. And for that, Lord, we say thank you that you get the glory out of our lives, God, in the name of Jesus. And for that, God, I say thank you right now, God. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, we want to say thank you right now for your everlasting mercy, for your everlasting grace, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Bless our going out and bless our coming in. And thank you, God, for your salvation. As we depart from this line, God, and not your presence, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.
Amen. Apostle Callender, I'm led to ask you this question. Have you thought about this of becoming incorporated?
I don't think about anything but talking to you. At least in God's word, that's all I think about.
All right,
yeah, but,
I think it's called the master apprentice, because we have plumbing companies that have more than one truck. They started as one, and now they're like, you know, they're business, and they have juniors under them meeting needs, because you have the skill to teach others and to go execute and help out at a more affordable price.
Okay.
I just say that. Amen.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Okay.
So you don't have to labor.
Here. Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
All
okay?
right. All right.
I was trying to get this thing here done. The line is open for anyone that wants to respond. And if nobody wants to respond, one of you can go ahead and pray for everybody and close out the line.
All right.
I think Evangelist Campbell did. You want us to do it again? Who do you want to pray?
You can pray.
Oh. Lord, in obedience to Apostle Callender's wishes, Lord, Father, I ask you to bless this man of God so he doesn't have to labor so much in terms of physical labor, that you, O God, will help him to see your plan, not my idea, but Lord, it just came to me to talk to him about it. But under this pandemic, we have to be very, very careful. But Father, I know that he has a wife who is more than able and well able to help him in this venture, if this is what you call him to. But Lord, I also know that he will be fair in helping others. Because especially living in the Boston area, there are truly plumbing problems in these old buildings. But, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you bless this fertile ground and that you bless everyone who is a part of this fertile ground. And, Lord, we are blessed because we belong to you. We are your children. So, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that we already know according to your word, you said, I will supply your need according to my riches and glory. Thank you for the word that was spoken that we read today about how one of Agabus, how Agabus declared that there would be a famine in the land and that they went forward to gather contribution so that the elders could handle the funds and everything necessary to supply the needs of your people in famine. So, Father, we thank you that we are protected from COVID-19 if we are wise and take heed to what you tell us to do. We pray that each one will have enough masks, food, water, and a shelter over their head. And we pray, oh God, for the people that are helping families who don't have enough food, Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name that we'll think to even help our neighbor who could even be homeless to make sure they have something to eat. In Jesus' name, let our evangelism go out wherever you send it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You be blessed tonight. You have a good day. God bless you. Thank you
bless
so
you
much.
All. We'll see you all tonight on Deacon Fraser Line. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.